This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Wes Hoff takes us through Leviticus 8 through 10 at our midweek study through the Old Testament.
We actually have narrative tonight, which is kind of exciting. We have narrative, which is not exactly the narrative you'd hope for, but I think there's some instruction in the middle of it. So chapter 8, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bowl of sin offering, and two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread. And assemble all the congregation at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. When the congregation was assembled at the doorway of the tent of meeting, Moses said to the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded to do. So we are continuing on, and so often these are what the Lord has commanded to do. There's obedience, there's following through exactly what God has, right? We have been talking about the Lord's holiness and us getting set apart, right? As Aaron and his sons being set apart to be used for the priests, right? And so often it is before the Lord. So Moses is getting ready for all this to happen, says we need to do this as what the Lord has called. Verse 6, then Moses had Aaron, his sons, come near and wash them with water, right? He washes them with water, which is an interesting thing because it is not the guys washing themselves, but Moses washes them. And there's something about, I think, about a humbling that happens there of just being before the people, but that preparation and being washed. But we know from Ephesians chapter 5, right, it says that husbands are to wash their wives in the pure water of the word, right? There's a washing that's happening. And also in Titus chapter 3, I'm going to turn there so I don't hack it up. But in Titus chapter 3, it says, oh man, where do you start? 3:3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. A lot of dark stuff, right? But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Which I love it. There's a washing there, right? The washing of his Holy Spirit in order to be washed in the word. For those that don't know, I was a missionary in Ukraine for 6 years. And I love these verses for multiple reasons, those two verses specifically. Because in the Russian translation, that washing is the word, what we would use for sauna, right? Which is, you guys know what a sauna is. The Russian word is banya, right? And the idea is it's a cleansing from the inside out, right? Those hot rooms you sit in after working out or whatever. But it's a cleansing from the inside out. And that's what God does in the midst of our lives. God's word, as we hide it in his heart, he does an amazing work, right? He cleans us from the inside out, but it often takes time, right? His Holy Spirit cleanses us from the inside out. So it's just a powerful picture. But here, this washing is happening, right? And they get washed. Well, this first washing happens. Well, the neat thing is Jesus washes his disciples' feet, right? And he does this before him. He takes that humbling position, that lower position, and washes the disciples' feet. And he says, you know, you've already been clean. You know, you just need this quick washing. We have Peter going through that whole thing, right? But it's that daily washing of the word, of the Spirit in our lives. Just keep us just good and cleansed before the Lord. So, Moses is doing this to Aaron and his sons. Verse 7 of chapter 8 of Leviticus. He put the tunic on him and girded him with the sash and clothed him with the robes and put on the ephod on him and girded him with the artistic band of the ephod, and with it he tied it to him. And then he placed the breastplate on him, and in the breastplate he put the Urim and the Thummim. So he's decking them out, right? This awesome priestly garbs. Tracy talked about it several weeks ago. all of these things he's putting on the heart, right? He has the 12 stones on there. It's on the heart of Israel, is on the heart of the priest, right? And the priest is getting prepared to go ready, right, to be before God, to represent God to man and man to God. And then these, whatever these things are, right, they're the Urim and the Thummim, which can be translated as like lights and perfections. They would seek the Lord, check him out, whatever they were. I don't really know what they are. Most people don't, but it's really interesting because they would hear from the Lord by these things. So he's placing all this on, right? He placed on verse 9, placed the turban on his head, and on the turban at its front, he placed the golden plate and the holy crown, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, right? We can go back to those details. Speaks more, you know, in Exodus. Moses then took the anointing oil and he anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. So this is Moses. Now he's taking the oil, right? And again, another picture of the Holy Spirit, the cleansing, the renewal of all of these things. And he sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the brazen altar and its stand and consecrated them. And he poured some of the anointed oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Now, I love this picture, right? So he's just taking some of the oil and he's putting it on the building. He's setting the instruments and the building apart. But then he goes to Aaron, the man, and he just dumps it on him, right? We think about being anointed with oil and just a little bit of oil, you know, kind of the representative picture. But with man, he just dumps the oil on. So in Psalm 133, Psalm 133 says, maybe, yes, all right. Psalm of Ascents of David. Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, for brothers to dwell together in unity." It's a good thing, right? For brothers to dwell together in unity. It's pleasing to the Lord's heart. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. That's not just a little drip, right? He's just pouring it out on him. You know, this picture here of just, and it, you know, David considers this such a great thing to make it a song. Coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. But just that picture of that anointing, right? Just total cleansing, total work of God's Spirit working upon Aaron. And he's consecrating him, right? He's setting him apart and setting him for work of the ministry here to represent man to God and God to man. Did I say that right? Hope so. Verse 12, back in Leviticus chapter 8. Verse 13. Next, Moses had Aaron's sons come near and clothed them with tunics and girded them with sashes and bound caps on them, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering. Next, Moses slaughtered it and took the blood, and with his finger, he put some around the horns of the altar and purified the altar. Then he poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. He also took all the fat that was on the entrails and the lobe of the liver, the 2 kidneys and their fat, and Moses offered it up in smoke on the altar. But the bull and its hide and its flesh and its refuse he burned in the fire outside the camp, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So Moses is stepping forward. He's being obedient. He's offering up this first offering, right? And you know, the sin offering, the bull is completely consumed, you know, just as Jesus was completely consumed for us. Verse 18, then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses slaughtered it, sprinkled the blood around on the altar. And when he had cut the ram into pieces, Moses offered up the head and the pieces and the suet in smoke. After he had washed the entrails and the legs with water, Moses offered the whole ram and smoke on the altar, and it was a burnt offering for a soothing aroma, and it was an offering by fire to the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So here's the next offering, right? Just as the Lord has commanded, just as the Lord has commanded. Pay attention, because we're going to have a chapter that these things don't happen. So verse 22, then he presented the second ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Moses slaughtered it and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Right? So, amazing picture, right? They're wearing their garb, by the way, right? He's got his little thing on his, you know, his turban, you know, breastplate and all this stuff going on. And then blood gets applied, right? Gets applied to his ears. He's set apart. He's being consecrated for what he hears, right? For what he sees, what he takes in. He's set apart. He's getting consecrated for what his hands touch, right? Where he goes. He's set apart where his feet go, where his life takes him, right? And you and I, as priests of the Lord, we're set apart where we go, right? What we listen to, right? Where our hands touch. And we know that. We know that. And the reason why is because the Lord wants what is best for us. He doesn't want us to miss out. You know, I used to think that, oh, you weird Christians, right? You don't get to do stuff, right? We're set free from so much. We're set free to a living relationship with God, right? So Aaron and his sons are being set apart at this particular time, right? So what we see, what we touch, where we go. Verse 24, he also had Aaron's son come near, and Moses put some blood on the lobe of the right ear and on the thumb of the right hand and on the big toe of the right foot. Hope he didn't have any issues with toes at that point, right? Could be really awkward. Moses then sprinkled the rest of the blood around the altar. He took the fat tail, and all the fat that was on the entrails, and the lobe of the liver, and the two kidneys, and their fat in the right thigh. From the basket of the unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake and one cake of bread mixed with oil and one wafer and placed them on the portions of the fat and on the right thigh. Then he put all of these on the hands of Aaron, on the hands of his sons, and presented them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses, right, took them from their hands and offered them up in the smoke on the altar with the burnt offering. They were an ordination offering for the soothing aroma, and it was an offering by fire to the Lord. Moses also took the breast and presented it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. All right, doing good. So Moses took some of the anointing oil, some of the blood which was on the altar, sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments. On his garments. He was all pretty. This is a bloody mess. We've already talked about this. This is a bloody mess. But we go back to Jesus, right? Who was perfect, spotless. Yet, he was beaten. He was bruised, right? He was despised. He was rejected. The one who was completely holy and set apart, right? And so we see this picture of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So continue on, middle of verse 30. So on his garments, on his sons, on the garments of his sons with him, and he consecrated Aaron, his garments, his sons, the garments of his sons with him. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh at the doorway of the tent of meeting, and eat it there together with the bread, which is in the basket of ordination offering, just as commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat of it, which is a neat thing. I know we talked a little bit about it, but that idea of eating the meat, it has to deal with fellowship with God, right? There's the cleansing, there's the setting apart, there's all this, but that eating the meat, it's an internal thing. It's becoming one. There's that fellowship. Jesus is speaking to the churches, right? And he says, I stand at the door and knock. Let me come in. Let me fellowship with you. He wants to eat, right? He's speaking to the church. We use it as a salvation message, but he's speaking to the church for intimacy and oneness. And the Lord wants to have continual fellowship with us, right? That he wants to do this work within the heart to nourish us. Like I was talking about, that cleansing from the inside out. The Lord is concerned with the heart. So they got to eat of the meat. Verse 32, the remainder of the flesh and all the bread, you shall burn it in fire, in the fire, and you shall not go outside the door. You shall not go outside the doorway of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the day of that period of your ordination is fulfilled. For he will ordain you through 7 days. The Lord has commanded to do as has been done this day, to make atonement on your behalf. At the doorway of the tent of meeting, moreover, you shall remain day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord so that you will not die. For so I have been commanded. Thus Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord had commanded through Moses. So this is the setting apart of Aaron and his sons, right? The priest. This is, they were being set apart and commissioned. And potentially this was happening all those 7 days. This cleansing work, the blood that was shed, the oil. It's an amazing scene here. You know, all the excitement, all the expectations that are going on. You know, all the work that went into this. So, chapter 9. Now, it came about on the eighth day that Moses, right, the eighth day, this is the day of new beginnings, right? Seven, the number of completion. The week is complete. The eighth day is the new beginnings, which is neat, right? You and I, we celebrate, right? Every day is the Lord's day, but we come together on Sundays in fellowship. That's actually the eighth day. It's actually new beginnings, right? Jesus resurrected, that new beginnings. We get to enter into that, right? The idea of the Sabbath day for the Hebrew people is Saturday, right? It happens Friday night. Their day starts in dark and ends in light. A whole, you know, but we get to celebrate. We celebrate every day, but that reminder of new beginnings. The old has been passed away. The new has been brought about. So on the eighth day, that Moses called Aaron and his sons, the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourself a calf, a bull for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defect, and offer them before the Lord. Then the sons of Israel, you shall speak, saying, take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf, and a lamb, both 1 year without defect for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for a peace offering, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. So they took what Moses had commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the whole congregation came near and stood before the Lord. Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Show us your glory, right? Moses then said to Aaron, verse 7, come near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, that you may make atonement for yourself and for the people. Then make an offering for the people, that you may make atonement for them, just as the Lord has commanded. So we know that Aaron himself had to make that own offering to make himself presentable before the Lord. And then he had to go before the people and to give that offering also. The amazing thing is, Hebrews tells us, Jesus went once. He didn't have to go multiple times, right? And a lot of this is referring to, within Hebrews, referring to the Day of Atonement, right? Where he went into the holiest of holies. But this idea that Jesus had to go in because he didn't have, or he only went once, because guess what? He didn't have to offer sin for himself. He himself was sinless, perfect, set apart, completely altogether, you know, pleasing to the Lord. So just a little glimpse here in Hebrews. You know, if you guys aren't already reading Philippians in your daily reading and all of this, Hebrews is a great accompaniment to all of this, right? Chapter 9, verse 6 of Hebrews, starting there. It's hard to start. Where do you start? But now, when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. But into the second, Only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing. Verse 9 of chapter 9 of Hebrews, which is a symbol for the present time. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, right? Dealing with the internals, since they relate only to food and drink and various washings and regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers sprinkling those have been defiled sanctuary for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and to serve the living God? So he is the mediator of the new covenant, which is just an amazing thing. All right. So I believe we're in verse 8. So Aaron came near to the altar and slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself, right? Then he offers this up for his own. Aaron's son presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put some on the horns of the altar and poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. The fat in the kidneys and the lobe of the liver of the sin offering he then offered up in smoke on the altar, just as the Lord has commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin, however, he burned with fire outside the camp. Then he slaughtered the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around the altar. They handed the burnt offering to him in pieces. With the head, he offered them up in smoke on the altar. He also washed the entrails and the legs and offered them up in smoke with the burnt offering on the altar. Verse 15. Then he presented the people's offering. So he offered up himself, his offering, now for the people's offering, and took the goat of the sin offering, which was for the people, and slaughtered it and offered it for sin like the first. He also presented the burnt offering and offered it in according to the ordinance. Next, he presented the grain offering and filled his hand with some of it and offered it up in smoke on the altar, besides the burnt offering of the morning. Then he slaughtered the ox and the ram, the sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around on the altar. As for the portions of the fat from the ox, from the ram, the fat tail and the fat covering, and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver, they now place the portions of fat on the breast, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. But the breast and the right thigh, Aaron presented the shoulder there as a wave offering before the Lord, just as Moses has commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. He stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. So the next book in Numbers, don't know for sure, but it was most likely this was what he proclaimed, this blessing in chapter 6 of Numbers. Chapter 6, verse 22. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them. Such an amazing thing. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. So he blessed the people. Verse 23, chapter 9. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Now, what was going on in there? They went in. Did God speak to them? We don't know, right? But they went in, but they came out, and then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And I love, like, that idea of the glory is just, we sang about it, right? Just to be in the Lord's presence. There's a weight to it. I don't know how to explain it. And as we get to it, I don't know how to conjure it up. And as we get to it, I don't want to conjure it up, right? But there's something about just being in the Lord's presence. We're going to be that way for all eternity because of the blood of Jesus. It's not going to be boring. We're not going to be sitting there strumming our whatevers. Some of you are like, I want to strum, right? But we're going to be experiencing new heavens and a new earth the way it was designed to be. We're not made for this world. This is temporary, right? We're longing for that eternal home, and it's going to be good. I can't wait. Anyways, so the glory of the Lord appeared. Then the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portion of the fat in the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. I don't know what they shouted, but can you imagine just the glory of the Lord? You know, so powerful, so awesome. You know, Moses has been hanging out on top of the mountain all this, but here, this opportunity, right? How does a perfect God and a broken, sinful man, how do they come back together? And this is the ordinance. This is the way that it's done. God is speaking, and he's setting this up, and he's offering this to happen. Now we know this is foreshadowing. This is looking forward to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. But this is an amazing scene, right? They're excited. There's revival happening, right? There's amazing things happen. Wouldn't it be awesome if we just stopped here? Leviticus just ended, right? Okay, we're good. Now, chapter 10. Nadab and some guy on the bayou, right? Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective little fire pans, right? They brought their censers, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Over and over again, Moses did according to what the Lord had commanded, again and again and again. Now, we don't know why. They didn't have the story to tell afterwards of Nadab and Abihu. Why they did it, I don't know if they got caught up. We have a little bit of possible information here down the road. But they got caught up and bad things are happening. Fire came down the end of chapter 9, right? Consumed the altar or consumed, you know, the offering. It was good. The people were worshiping God. Super awesome. The glory of the Lord is there. Verse 2, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Now, it seems to be something that happens again and again, right? God will say, hey, major move, and then what happens? Oh, yeah, we sold our house, and here's the portion, and my wife's coming right behind me, and you've lied to the Holy Spirit, right? You've lied to God. So we see major things happen here. God has a major move. And these guys come in and they bring strange fire that's not prescribed by the Lord. And they fall dead before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. Before all the people, I will be honored. So Aaron, therefore, kept silent. So again, we're not exactly sure what they did. They were in the line of Levi, right? They were sons of Aaron. They were the priests that are qualified to be able to do this. There was even blood splattered on them. We just read, right? For them to be set apart. But they didn't go according to the Lord's prescription of how He wanted people to come, and they died. Very serious, right? We've been talking about the holiness of the Lord on Wednesday nights and the altogether separateness of who God is and the power of it. So it's an interesting thing because we have a narrative in the middle of Leviticus, and this is the narrative. So verse 4, Moses called also to Mishael and Eliezaphan, the sons of Aaron, and good old Uncle Uzziel, and said to them, come forward, carry your relatives away from the front of the sanctuary to the outside of the camp. So they came forward and carried them, still in their tunics, to the outside of the camp, as Moses had said. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, so that you will not die, that he will not become wrathful against all the congregation, but your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord has brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, or you will die, for the Lord's anointing oil is upon you. So they did according to the word of Moses. Very serious, right? It's a very serious thing. Can you imagine being Aaron? Amazing movement of God. God has placed you to be the representative. This is his own sons. These are his own sons. From the heights of heights, oh God, you're going to be awesome. You're going to do amazing things in your people. And then all of a sudden his sons go. Major issues. Now, I do know to speak to Aaron, right? This is twice. This is two times. I think Aaron had the same issue that Adam had. And what I mean by this is it says that Adam was not deceived, but it was the woman who was deceived, according to Timothy, right? According to Paul writing in Timothy. And it also says she ate of the fruit and gave to him who was with her. So Adam was in the presence of getting tempted, right? Eve was getting tempted by the serpent. And here he remains silent. He doesn't walk in his role or speak up. And he's influenced at this time by his wife, right? Aaron, his brother, goes up to the mountain. People get delivered. Israel's all rejoicing. And what does Aaron do? We're not exactly sure what happened. Because he said, fell in the fire and this thing came out. Right? He was influenced by the people. And he was not walking in his leadership role for whatever reason. And, you know, this happened here, right, where we don't know exactly. But just that weight, you know, for whatever reason this happens, the influence of Aaron, you know, stepping in or not stepping in, not speaking up in his authority role. It's not always popular being in authority, right? Being right isn't necessarily being popular, and that's okay. But Aaron kind of just fell here in the midst of this. And his sons were responsible for their own choice too, which is a really difficult thing to think about, right? So he's not allowed to mourn his boys. Now, it appears that part of this reason why he's not allowed to mourn is he can't misrepresent the people or misrepresent God to the people and think that God struck his boys dead and that God was wrong. I don't fully know all the reasons why, but God wasn't wrong for doing this, right? There's a prescribed way to come to the Lord. The only way that you and I can come to the Lord is by the blood of Jesus, by the broken body of Jesus, for his glory and not for our own glory. You know, they went in with strange fire. They offered up things, right? The idea of the smoke, of the, you know, being brought in the altar. And We don't know exactly. It's possible that they were in the holiest of holies, right? We don't know. They were in somewhere. The guys had to drag him out and dealt with them. But it's really hard, you know? But it does appear that one thing does happen in verse 9. One of the issues. Because he immediately steps into this, right? As we read chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book, context is so much a safety for us. You guys know that, right? Somebody comes at you with a really weird doctrine. Read what's before, read what's after. Read what style of book it is. Is it, if it's poetry, it might be a little different, right? Then you're going to read it if it's historical, right? Or if it's narrative. So, or if it's prophecy. So, verse 8, right? Then the Lord spoke to Aaron saying, immediately, right? Do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, and when you come to the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. It is a perpetual state or statute throughout your generations. It's a good possibility that this is the reason why. That these guys came in and they were intoxicated, right? We don't know exactly, but immediately this gets brought about. Now, it says in Ephesians that we are not to be drunk with wine as in dissipation. That word is wasting or squandering. But we are to be filled with the Spirit. That is a continual filling of the Spirit. It says this is what the will of the Lord is. That we're not to be affected by this, right? And I know it's about a 90-10, okay? It's a 90-10. You guys want to try to weigh that out, you know? 90% negative on drinking, 10% positive, okay? About 10 places in the scriptures. I know Jesus' first miracle, right, was wine to a bunch of people already on a week-long wedding, already gone out. Speaking of the new covenant, by the way, which is kind of what we've been talking about, right? But it's a 90-10. You guys got to weigh that out. There's times that it speaks of joy, but the scary thing is, you know, it's called spirits for a reason, right? It's called spirits. I believe it or not, I was a bartender before I knew Jesus. I used to brew beer. That was my job. And so I dealt with people that were like that. I was one of those that were like that. And I could definitely say that I was under the influence. There was something guiding, directing me, moving me, right? And so the Lord wants us to have a sober mind, a clear mind, right? You weigh it out. Is it a sin to drink alcohol? You know, you guys need to weigh that out. You weigh the scriptures out. Before the Lord, this seems to be a major thing. But we're to be controlled of the Spirit, right? And again, let's go back to context. God is moving. There's a movement of God. There's excitement. The glory of the Lord's there. And these guys come in, and they do it for their own glory. Or whatever happens, they get struck dead. As I mentioned, I was missionary in Ukraine. And one of our conferences, it was just really sweet, right? Just precious believers. There was a couple hundred, you know, Ukrainians and you know all of other folks that was going on. And there was just a great time of confession, right? There was a teaching. It was a really good teaching. There was a time of confession. People were just forward, and they were just asking to be cleansed, right? Please forgive me, you know, Lord, do this. And they were just, God had touched their hearts, and they were confessing things, and God was cleansing, like we were talking about, from the inside out. And there was just great rejoicing. It was super exciting in the midst of that, right? So it went from kind of the heavy time of just coming before the Lord, coming broken, recognizing I'm still in need of a Savior. I don't know if you guys have forgotten that, but you and I today are still in need of a Savior. We're covered by the blood. We are saved. But daily we need redeemed and cleansed and washed. And so it was just a sweet movement. And I was just sitting, watching, and just kind of praying. And after that, there was just a time of worship. It was really sweet. And Big George was, there was just a time in the midst of it, there was a bunch of people who were walking around like a conga line. It may sound weird. It wasn't the unprescribed thing. It was good, okay? And it was just a great time of rejoicing. And the worship team was up here. The guy who led it, his name is Slava, which is Russian for praise. This is my worship leader. His name is Praise. So, but it was really, really awesome. God's moving. People are rejoicing, right? Just burdens lifted. And you know what happened? A girl got up on stage, and she started dancing, and her shirt was like like her belly was showing. And you know what happened? I was really blessed in this sense. George immediately left, got up on the stage nice and quietly and said, guys, thanks for an amazing night. I'll see you in the morning. And what I watched there, it was very instructive to me. He didn't point out that girl, right? Because the attention went from being on the Lord and rejoicing to, oh my, right? And it went to, it was just strange, right? But George was very gentle and he came up and said, you know, it was a really sweet night. Praise God. See you guys in the morning. And he just ended things because it was a strange thing. That I hope that kind of illustrates, but it just seems to speak that way. I want to see God move so bad. I'd love to see just people set free. This, you know, Lawrence turned around, transformed for Jesus. You know, I don't know what the cost is, right? But I can't force God to do it, right? I can't like, okay, Lord, if we sit here for 78 days and we don't move, God's going to do it. It's having our hearts yielded and set apart for the Lord, looking upon Jesus, having our hearts open and ready to say, God, do your work, right? For us to be yielded. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to do it. I just want to walk with God today and then tomorrow and then the next day. And if he wants to move, our hearts are prepped and ready and we're set apart and we're being daily transformed, renewed inside, and God does his work, right? Do not be drunk with wine as in waste or squander, but be filled, continually filled with the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Yeah, right? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, right? All of this. The heart of gifts, which is tongues, right? Which we'll get to this last part here. And prophecy, the heart of it is chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Because it's talking about the gifts, right? In chapter 12 and in 14 of 1 Corinthians. But the heart of it is love. It's others focused. We see that's just God's hand and how he moves. So, you know, I'd love to see a revival happen. I'd love to see just the church just woke up and excited about Jesus and hungry. And, you know, we're blessed to be who we are, right? Rooted and grounded in his grace, right? Walking according to his Spirit, like just in his word, enjoying him. But I just want to see, you know, let's pray. Let's see what God wants to do. So, verse 10, chapter 10 of Leviticus. So, as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean, so as to teach the sons of Israel and all the statutes which the Lord has commanded, spoken to them through Moses. So, this is that continual three generation, right? That they're not to be coming before the Lord with different types of spirits, not to be altered, right? Then Moses spoke to Aaron and to his surviving sons. Again, there's a weighty word right there, right? Eleazar and Ithamar. Take the grain offering that is left over from the Lord's offering by the fire. Eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it, moreover, in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due out of the Lord's offering by fire. For thus I have been commanded. The breast of the wave offering, however, and the thigh of the offering you may eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you. And there's that fellowship. For they have been given as your due and your sons' due out of the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the sons of Israel. The thigh offering by lifting up, the breast offering by the wave offering that they shall bring along with the offerings by fire of the portion of fat to present a wave offering before the Lord. So it shall be a thing perpetually due you and your sons with you, just as the Lord has commanded. Verse 16. But Moses searched carefully for the goat of the sin offering. Behold, it had been burned up. So he was angry with Aaron's surviving sons of Eleazar and Ithamar, saying, strike four. All four sons, right? Why did you not eat the sin offering at the holy place? For it is most holy, and he gave it to you to bear away the guilt of the congregation and to make atonement for them before the Lord. Behold, since its blood had not been brought inside into the sanctuary, you should certainly have eaten it in the sanctuary just as I commanded. But Aaron spoke to Moses, behold, this very day they presented their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord. When things like these happen to me, if I had eaten a sin offering today, would it have been good in the sight of the Lord? When Moses heard that, it seemed good in his sight. I don't fully understand this section, okay? I'll just be honest. Because the one sons brought in stuff that they weren't prescribed to do. Ithamar, right, and Eleazar, they didn't do what they were required to do. So they omitted what God had called to do. The other guys brought in extra stuff, right? So both were wrong. You know, both were wrong in the midst of it. I'm not exactly sure how they ended up with this. They didn't do it. I don't know if there was some mourning that was happening for the loss of their brothers or whatever. But when Moses heard it, it seemed good in his sight. So we see the failure on both sides of the sons. And, you know, this desire for revival that we're talking and all this, they had a revival happening. The one brought in the strange fire, right? But the other said, no, we're not going to do this. So there's a balance to it all, right? There is the obedience that comes out of it. We are thankful that Jesus was obedient to the very most, right? He walked through every bit of it. So it is an interesting thing, right? Where do we walk as people? We recognize that Jesus is our sacrifice and that we have our conscience cleansed, as we talked about, and that we can come boldly to this throne room of grace, and that we yield to the Spirit. We ask Him to cleanse us and to renew us daily, right? That washing from the inside out. So the weight of this is just that, is quite weighty. As we look at this example of these guys, and even Aaron's failure and the boys, you know, and his son's failure and the weight that he had to deal with.
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word. Journey through.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.